Second Peter chapter number 1, verse 13 said, "Yea, I think it meet," that word would mean necessary, "as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing," love this, "knowing that shortly," Peter said, "I'm not going to be here much longer. I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus hath showed me." You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you for your people. Thank you for these veterans that have stood here today, Lord. Thank you for our veterans that couldn't stand here today, Lord. God, I pray today that you'd bless our veterans, bless their families. I pray, dear God, today that Jesus would just magnify in this service, God. I pray you'd magnify your presence, and God, that you'd just help us, amen. Because, Lord, we need your help. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. We pray, dear God, that you'll just help us in a special way. Lord, save the lost. Lord, encourage your people. God, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to start this morning. I don't know how it's going to go, but here's where we're going to take off this morning on a November to remember. A November to remember. The Apostle Peter, in verse number 13, said, "I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." I thought this was interesting. Turn with me to chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, notice what the Word of God said here. Verse number 1, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Now, I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but I am going to be honest with you this morning. I've examined my life. You know when it's the easiest for God to stir my heart? When my heart's pure and when my mind is pure. Did you know that when my mind is not pure, my heart is not pure, it's hard for God to do a work in my heart and in my life. It's hard to get excited and stirred up about the things of God. Amen. Can I tell you what Hollywood's all designed about? Can I tell you what the internet, 95% of it's designed about? It's to take a pure mind and defile it. Amen. And I believe we need to be careful, amen, in these days. Peter knew that he was soon going to be meeting the Lord. And he said, "As long as I'm here, I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." And I want to give you three things this morning that the God of heaven placed in my heart as we take off on the subject of November to remember. As some of it's already been touched on in the service and in the Sunday school. But I want to give it to you as the Lord dealt with my heart about it. Look at verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The first word in the message today would be the word faith. Remember our faith. I thought it strange that the lady stood here and sung a song about taking you back to a time, amen, when you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's no other reason in the world to tell people what Jesus means to you and what Jesus has done for you and just rehearse that salvation experience, this reason will do. It'll stir you up every time. Amen. I tell you what, if you can't get stirred up about your own testimony, then you've not got much of a testimony. Amen. Let me show you something in the Scripture here that blessed my heart. The Bible said in verse number 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Look at verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." How many remembers when your heart was dark? Amen. And thank God that the darkness was not so great that the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't shine into that dark place and make a difference in your heart, make a difference in your life. The Bible said, "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart." knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures have any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You say, Pastor, what's this got to do with faith? Everything. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One of the things I mentioned on Wednesday night in the preaching is, Bobby, we owe it to the Jewish people that we've got a Bible in front of us. We owe it to the Jewish people that they gave us a Savior, amen, that hung on an old rugged cross. I know that his father was God, but his mother was a little Jewish lady that stayed pure, amen, and found favor in the eyes of God. And I believe this morning with all of my heart that when we get stirred up by way of remembrance, God wants us to remember that time when we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not picking on Devin, but when they were singing, Devin, I couldn't help but think about that living room. I couldn't help but think about a man that fell on his face in his living room. And God broke his heart, amen. And he said yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Every one of us ought to have a time and a place in our life when we can go back and put our finger on it and say, right there is where it happened. Right there is where the Lord saved me. Years ago, I was going on a mission trip to Mexico, and I was on a plane, and I told the Lord before I left, I said, Lord, I don't know why I'm going to Mexico. I can't speak Spanish. I can't understand Spanish. But I said, Lord, just maybe, somewhere between here and there, there's somebody that you want me to talk to. And I remember this lady's name was Jessica. And beloved, we had a leg of the flight that went to Atlanta. One of the men that was in our church there, he got on the trip late. There was six, he made the seventh. And so all of the six men were sitting together on the plane, and the seventh man just got whatever seat was left. He was over by himself. So on the second leg from Atlanta to San Antonio, I said, brother, let's just swap seats. I said, I'm wanting to do a little reading and studying anyway. I was actually just making up an excuse. Amen. I wanted him to be able to fellowship with the men. And I was sitting over there by myself. Well, I ended up sitting next to a pretty little lady. Amen. And that morning, beloved, God, that very morning, one of our men told me about a man that was and a woman that was in the military trying to get him fixed up with another woman while he was overseas. And he was married with children. And he said, I just nipped that in the bud. He said, I just took my wallet out and showed him a picture of my wife and my children. Amen. He said, that's over with. So that morning he told me that. Well, I thought, how am I going to talk to this beautiful young lady over here without her thinking something bad? Amen. Now, I'll remind you, I wasn't 63 years old at the time. Amen. She would have thought her grandpa was sitting next to her. Amen. If I'd have been 63. But I was sitting there and I wasn't very old. And I just looked at her and I said, my name's Rick. I said, I'm the pastor, Liberty Baptist Church. I thought that might help a little bit. And then I told her this. I said, there's six men sitting behind us back here that goes to our church. We're going on a mission. In other words, I had eyes on me. Amen. I wasn't going to get by with much. Amen. And then I took my wallet out and showed her a picture of my wife and my children. And she just set her at ease. Well, to give you the long story short, she got saved. You say, Pastor, where'd she get saved? I don't know. I just know it was 14,000 feet, somewhere between Atlanta and San Antonio. Everybody sings that song. I can tell you now, the time I can take you to the place, she can't take you to the place. And I can't either, amen. But I guarantee you she remembers. I'm not telling the whole story. The whole story, it even gets better, amen. But that woman got saved by the grace of God. And she can say it was on a plane, amen, flying down to see her aunt that had been praying for years, amen. And she got born again, amen. Thank God we ought to remember our faith. Someone said this, little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. I like that, don't you? We need some more great faith, amen. Believing God can, amen. Do what needs to be done, and thanking God for what he's already done. And Martin Luther said this, he said, God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith has everything, but whoever does not have faith has nothing. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Old preacher said one time, he said, when you leave, He said, tell everybody. He said, shake my hand and tell everybody I shook hands with a poor boy that's got everything. Hallelujah. If you have Jesus this morning, you put your faith and your trust in Him, it ought to be a November to remember, because you have faith in Christ. Amen. This world's turned upside down and inside out. But thank God, we that are saved, we're going somewhere. Amen. We put our faith in the Lord. Then the second thing I want you to notice in the text today, beloved, as we think about being stirred up by way of remembrance, I want you to think about the fruit. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've read stories this week about missionaries that stayed in a place some 10, some 15, some 20 years before they ever saw a convert. And I'm telling you, it broke my heart and I began to weep. Because I'll tell you, I've only been here 10 years. Amen. Going on 11 years now. And we've not set the woods on fire. But I begin to think of this one, and that one, and this one, and that one. Thank God it ain't been a fruitless time. Say amen. God has let us see some people saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, we get wrapped up sometimes in what we think maybe God ought to do and forget what He's already done. The Bible said, beloved, here, these things will make you that you be neither barren nor unfruitful. What are those things? It's a divine power. Look in verse number 3. He's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let me say something to you this morning. The child of God has no excuse to live ungodly. God has given us everything that we need to live a godly life. Amen. I know you're not perfect, and I know I'm not perfect. But I tell you what, as Brother Mitchell said, we ought to be striving for that. Amen. We ought to be striving to be more like Jesus every day of our life. And we ought to thank Him, beloved. Listen, that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Then He said, there's great and precious promises in verse number 4. They can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And besides this, He said, given all diligence. Add to your faith, to virtue, knowledge. Add to your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. You say, Pastor, why? He said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 15, I'll share this with you this morning. I think it's amazing, beloved, what God said here concerning fruit. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. If you'll notice these scriptures, God said there's no fruit. He said there's fruit. And He said there's more fruit, but it gets better than that. He said, abide in me. Now, watch this now. Verse 3. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. That fits with that pure mind again, don't it? Amen. When your mind gets defiled, beloved, feed it the word of God. Amen. The word of God, wash that mess. Say amen. The blood of Jesus will wash that mess. The Bible said, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I thank God for that. The Bible said, abide in me in verse 4. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. A lot of Christians have got caught up in a trap. They think that they're called on of God to produce fruit. Honey, the Christian cannot produce fruit. We're just supposed to stay hooked up with the vine and bear fruit. If you stay hooked up with the vine, beloved, there'll be fruit dangling out here on the branch. Amen. And the Word of God said, I'm the vine, you're the husbandman. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Boy, it's a happy day in the child of God's life when we realize we can't do one cotton-picking thing without Him. Amen. We can't do anything without Him. The songwriter said, I need Thee every hour. We can break it down. I need Thee every minute. I need Thee every second. Beloved, we can't even walk without Him. We can't even breathe without Him. Beloved, listen, it gets better than that. He said, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me, watch this now, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Listen to verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I don't think it's strange. I think God said exactly what he wanted to say. It's Jesus speaking. Beloved, he didn't say fruit. His Father was glorified. He didn't say more fruit, that his Father was glorified. Beloved, he said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I believe God is saying, hey, you want to glorify God, then you have a life that's full of much fruit. You have a life, amen, beloved, that's bearing fruit to the glory of God. And Peter said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Watch verse 9. But he that lacketh these things. Every one of us knows somebody that says they're a Christian. But beloved, if it wasn't for what they said, you'd never know it. It shouldn't be that way. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, your testimony is important. What you say is important. But I'm going to tell you something right now. What you say ought to come from a life that just, beloved, just oozes the grace of God and the mercy of God. When I said that just now, Brother Rightly Sailing come to my mind. That man of God, I'm telling you, you get around him and God just oozed out of him. Amen. It get all over you if you stayed around him for 5 minutes. Amen. Because he loved God. He walked with God. And he had a pure mind that was stirred up towards the things of God. The Bible said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. This is pitiful right here. I said pitiful. Listen to what the Bible said. And have forgotten. We're talking about a November to remember. You know where a lot of children of God are today? They're sitting at the house and they've forgotten. That's what the Bible said. They've forgotten that they were purged from their old sin. You say, Pastor, that's impossible. Why is it in the book? Why is it in the book if it's impossible? I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. Church is important. The Word of God's important. Praying's important. Sharing your testimony with others is important. It's these things adding to your faith. Some people say, I get saved and that's it. No, you got saved and you just started. You just got on the road, amen. We're to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved friend, it's a November to remember because of our faith, because of the fruit that God will allow us to bear in our lives. He said in verse number 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That's what this whole message is about our calling. Beloved, God called us in faith. God called us to bear fruit. Watch what he said here. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I'm going to ask you a question. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to ask you a question. It's a personal question. How many of you, it would hurt you badly in your spirit if your pastor failed. Would you raise your hand? What about my precious wife? If she fail? I'm going to tell you something right now. Honey, we have an enemy and he's very real. But God said you keep these things in your life. You add to your faith. Amen. You pass some fruit to the glory of God. And he said you'll never fall. You say, Pastor, you're going to take God's word. I sure am. Amen. I don't want to go down. I got grandchildren watching me. I got little ones running around this church around my knees watching me. I don't want to fall. Brother Joe made it to heaven without falling. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, thank God we can have that time to remember in our life, a time of faith, a time of fruit. But the last word I want to call to your attention this morning is this word. The Bible said in verse number 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wrote there, he said, I'll not be negligent to put you in always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. You know what I believe? I believe there's people that know John 3:16. But now when they read it or when they hear it, it no longer stirs them. Did you hear what I just said? It no longer stirs them. I believe there are people that know scriptural truth, but they're no longer stirred about it. I'm going to tell you something. Peter's about to die. He's about to give up the ghost. And he, right in his last days, his last words, he said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to stand in the middle of God's people, and I'm going to stir them up by way of remembrance. Amen. If going back there to where you got saved don't stir you up, I don't know if there's much hope for you. Amen. If the Word of God, amen, the promises of God don't stir you up, I don't know if there's much hope for you. If seeing somebody saved, bearing fruit to the glory of God, don't stir you up, I don't know if there's much hope for you. But I'll tell you this, Peter knew that these things would stir God's people. But he gave us one more thing, and that was this. Not only did he want to talk about our faith, talk about our fruit, but he wanted to talk about our future. He said here, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto them abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. There's people right here. The reason I made that statement a while ago about Brother Jack, I heard it on tape. Amen. If that rubs you further the wrong way, turn the cat around. I believe old Brother Jack looked over the banisters of heaven and said, glory to God. Amen. Somebody's remembering something I said. Amen. How many can remember something he said? Amen. Amen. You got a picture in your mind of the man of God. And you know what Peter's saying? He's saying, after my decease. Watch it, verse number 15. To have these things always in remembrance. Peter didn't necessarily want them to remember him. He wanted them to remember what he said, what he taught them. He wanted them to remember the Word of God. So we have a future. He said, for we have not followed cunning, devised fables when we made known unto you the power and what? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's dying. But he says, I want you to remember something. He's coming. He's coming. We stood down there in that cemetery yesterday at Church Hill. And I'll tell you, when Jesus comes, they're going to pop out of there. You say, are all of them? Nope. Are most of them? According to the Bible, it's a narrow way. Few there be that find it. Broad's the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. But I'm going to tell you what God knows in that cemetery. Whose is His and whose is not His. The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are His. And this morning in this service, if you're His, you have a glorious future in front of you. Amen. But if you're not His, beloved, just as words could not describe the glorious future, I don't believe words can describe a place in the Bible, a place where people never rest, where they never find rest, where there's outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't believe good words could describe heaven. I don't believe bad words could describe hell. But God said there's two places. God's people have a wonderful, wonderful, glorious future. And in November, especially, it's Thanksgiving month. Man, we ought to be thankful. We ought to get somewhere alone with God today and say, God, it's been a long time since I just bowed my head. I didn't ask you for anything. God, I just want to bow my head. I want to bow my heart. If I'm able, I want to bow my knee. And I just want to thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you, God. I'm not a preacher that's setting the woods on fire. Thank you for a little bit of fruit along the way. Thank you, God. Thank you for a future that's right in front of us. I mean, we're standing on the doorstep when Jesus will step out on a cloud. He'll say, it's enough, youngins. Come up hither. Glory to God. You say, Pastor, what are you going to do? Well, every time I go stay somewhere, I want to know when I have to check out. You know, I check out usually so I can go home. I'm just going to check out so I can go home. Amen. I'm going to check out so I can check in. Amen. Say, Pastor, why? Why visit? Why give out the tracts? Why preach? Why teach? Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. I tell you why. Because one soul's worth it all. One soul is worth it all. Sister Danita, why? No, not many people know the hours. I'm not talking, actually days that goes into a Christmas play. Not many people know some people can memorize a line in a play just like that. And some people have to work at it and work at it and work at it for weeks to get down a part in the play. Sister Kathy, everybody can't be as smart as you are. Amen. She just turned red on me. Amen. I think she fired me. She's a great actor. I've asked Chance time and time again, do you get nervous? Nah. He just cool hand Luke. Amen. He just gets up there and does it. Amen. So I won't pray for him no more and we'll see how he does. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, why? Why put all that work into a Christmas play? Brother Ralph, were you not saved at a Christmas play? Huh? Everybody's glad God saved Brother Ralph. How many's glad that little church, it was a smaller church like, wasn't it, brother? How many's glad them young people put on a Christmas play and told that hard-headed man back there about Jesus? But Jesus crushed his heart. You was a teenager, wasn't you, brother? How old were you, Brother Ralph? Ask Shelby. Amen. It's been a long time ago, ain't it, Brother Ralph? All these years that man's been faithful. And it all was birthed in what a lot of people would just sniff off as a Christmas play. I'm telling you, if we'll pray, we'll give out those flyers. We're going to be going where we've already got contacts and inviting people. We're going to invite them to the Thanksgiving services. We're going to go back and invite them to the Christmas play. I'm going to tell you what. Somebody's going to come. Somebody's going to hear. Somebody's going to get help. The story of Jesus is helping people. And we need it again and again. A November to remember. Our faith, our fruit, our future. May God help us. Not to be down this month, but to look up. I'm telling you, honey, he's coming. We can plan for the day with Brother Keith, but our day of Thanksgiving may be in glory. We can plan for the Christmas play, but I'm telling you, we may be in glory by the time December the 25th gets here, or the 17th when the play is supposed to be. Let's bow for prayer.